interception, Patrick Peterson. And in this heavyweight bout, the Vikings with the knockout blow.
Dum dum. Skull. Dum dum.
Dum. Skull.
Skull. Dum
dum. Oh, we should have played. We should have played the skull chant. Skull Vikings.
No, that's the corniest. That's the corniest thing that still gets played on Vikings radio, and that says a lot.
It's probably one of my favorite things. Not even gonna lie.
What is this emergency episode?
Emergency 40, episode one.
Emergency episode one. Vikings pull it out of nowhere. I want to know. I want to know what the Bills' probability of winning was after they stopped the Vikings on fourth and goal. Even though they were pinned at their one, I want to know what their win probability was.
Well, I thought it was really funny that the Bills' social media tweeted, and they stopped something about like stopping on fourth and one ball game, and then they deleted the tweet. If you're watching the ESPN win probability, it had to have been like 98%
in the 90s. Had to have been. And what was it, how many seconds left were there, like 40 seconds left or something like that? Because
like 30
we scored, 30 we scored left. The touchdown, but then they came down and kicked, because we were only up by three. They came down, kicked a field goal to tie it, went to OT.
Yeah.
Right? That's what happens? Because like that, it was basically game over if they could get outside of the shadow of the goal line, right? But they couldn't. Josh Allen fumbled the snap. Like something crazy. Something crazy had to, like, that you would never bank on ever. Dude, something about this Vikings team is so strange. And like has been for a couple years, but for some reason strange in a good way this year.
I'm trying to find it.
But yeah, I DM'd Bort and I said, Bort, emergency podcast tonight if the Vikings win. And this was what, when we were still probably down by like 3 points or maybe 10 points driving to go score a touchdown. And Bort was like, sure. And here we are recording emergency. We're going to call this season three, episode 10 and a half, overall episode 48. First installment of the emergency playlist, into the emergency playlist. So Bort, what do you have for us? This better be good. You've been looking for this for like a minute.
Yeah, so right here I have at, it was down to fourth and goal. The Buffalo one is as far back as I can get. I can't get it. Oh, here we go. Ball. Buffalo had a 51.1% chance of winning. No.
No way.
Screw this. Okay. Can't find it. Can't get close enough. But we were in the 90s when we had it on their one. And then we didn't get it. Wow. And then they had like, yeah, it really like the needle just goes way up and then down towards Buffalo. And then that was way up to Minnesota again.
It was back-to-back plays. Back-to-back plays. Yeah. We get stopped fourth and goal, and we're from the half-yard line. Or something, because there was that encroachment. Well, there was the offsides, the play before.
It was already half yard line.
It was 1.5 yard line.
No, it was a half yard line. And then they got the encroachment pushed it like, like the ball was pretty much like, if you set the ball down, it would almost be on the goal line.
Yeah.
And then, Kirk couldn't get there. That's about where it got. He was close to being in. Like, if they call him in there, I don't think they can reverse it. And that's kind of what they were saying, is like, even if they would have called,
that was kind of the theme of that fourth quarter.
Yeah, because that fumble too. Mm-hmm. That fumble that we got, like if they would have called him down, they probably wouldn't have been able to reverse it. If they call it a fumble, they wouldn't have been able to reverse it. And then with the where Kendricks recovers that fumble.
Yeah.
If you know, in they the were looking zone. At like where did he, you can't see. It's just bodies.
No, you can't see it.
I feel bad for Gabe Davis.
Dude, before we get to Gabe Davis, what was the fumble that we recovered? What context was that under? Because that was in the fourth quarter, right? Was that to get the ball back with like – was that to get the ball back down 10? Or when was that? Because that was a pretty big moment.
I think we were down – because I thought we scored off of it. Maybe we just got that field goal. That's when we got three. So we were down like, 7-17. And then I think we scored that.
No, it was 27-7. It was 27-14, I think. Because then we kicked a field goal to make it 27.
No, it was 20. It was 24-10 and then 27-10. And then Cook broke off that 81-yard rush to make it 27-17.
So it was 27-10 at one point? And yes. Cook scored a 70-yarder to make it 81 yards to make it what score?
27-17.
Because it was 27-10. Holy shit. That's crazy. Okay. And then it was after that that we forced a fumble?
Let me see.
I remember watching that play, we
scored a touchdown, 7-0. They scored a touchdown, 7-7. They scored a touchdown, 14-7. They got a field goal, 17-7. We got a field goal, 17-10. They scored a touchdown, 24-10. They scored a field goal in the third quarter, 27-10. Dalvin Cook 81-yard touchdown, 27-17. CJ Ham touchdown, 27-24. 23. Greg Joseph missed PAT. 41 seconds left. Eric Kendricks 0-yard fumble return. 30-27. 2 seconds left. Tyler Bass 29 yards.
Yeah.
30-30. Wow. But the fact that we only allowed them to score 6 points in the second half is insane. And yeah, I don't know.
It feels like they scored way more.
I don't know if you knew, but the Bills had the number one defense coming into this game.
Based on what metric?
Based on Fox and analysis telling us that.
Okay, I don't know what that means, though. Is that total points? Is it total yards? Is it based off of a number of things? I'm sure
it's, like, based off of, like, an average of everything. Like, the number one defense based on, you know, points and yards allowed, I would assume. Okay,
because I guarantee if I type in number one NFL defense 2022, it will not say Buffalo Bills. What should I go off of? You said it was from Fox?
That's what they said before the game. Because like I know, right here. Lineups.com, team number one, Buffalo Bills, number two, Denver Broncos.
Lineups.com. Wow, okay. So yeah, that's based off of a bunch of different stuff, it looks like. All right, well, shoot. Go Vikes. They put up points, 33. That feels about right.
Vikes have the number 8.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Bend, don't break.
That was the epitome of this game. Yeah. I remember them driving down in the third quarter, making it look easy. I think that was when Pat P had his first pick.
Yes.
They Bills looked like they were going to march it right down the field. All of a sudden, I'm not sure if they were in the red zone or just outside of it, but Pat P picked it off in the end zone. took it out. And that was where Josh Allen hit him and like got hurt or like got dinged up. And then again, to end the game, Bills are like, hey, we're already in field goal range. Josh Allen tries to push it to the end zone to Gabe Davis. Pat P picks him off again. But that's not, I mean, yeah, you'd love for your defense to get a three and out every single time they're on the field. But hey, if they don't score, I can't get too upset about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was crazy because they said at the end of the game some crazy stat that before last week Josh Allen didn't have an interception inside the red zone in like 300 attempts or something like that. Not 300 times being in the red zone, but 300 passes in the red zone. He did not have an interception.
Wow.
And now in the last 2 weeks against the Jets and the Vikings, he has 4 combined. 2 today, 2 last week.
So that's interesting because his player comp coming into the NFL way back in 2017 when he was drafted was that of a gunslinger, someone who's going to try to make plays with his arm and maybe a little turnover prone. He had kind of flipped that script the last year and a half, but I'm wondering if there's a little bit of that kind of natural coming way back into like when he was in college, being able to throw at 70 yards downfield, being able to make everything happen with his arm and his legs. Wondering if there's a little bit of that, I don't want to call it hero ball, but some of that coming into play with some of these passes that may be caught in other seasons, but for some reason this year aren't being made. You're laughing. What's up?
I turned my mic off so that you wouldn't hear me laugh.
Oh, come on.
I'm laughing because Chris just posted in the pigskin that Gerald Everett is questionable to return. And no I posted way. I posted a GIF that made me laugh.
No way. No.
Oh,
way.
Man. Because I've got Jimmy G and Palmer going up against him. So.
Oh, gosh, dude. What's Sleeper saying now?
He said I'm down 22 points.
Oh, yikes, dude.
Am I really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo is stinking. That's fun. So, yeah, Vikings. Great game. People are saying like one of the best games. I think it's probably one of the better finishes.
It wasn't a great game for.
Wasn't a great game.
Two thirds of the game.
I look back at the Bills and Chiefs game. Like that. That game was insane. It's funny because a lot of them are the Chiefs Rams a couple years ago, Monday Night Football. Goff
where they
like
scored
500
like
100
points.
Yeah, it was like 51 to 50 45. Or something like that. Yeah. And Goff had like 500 yards in that game, I think.
Yeah. There was no defense being played.
Yeah, better games played, but catch Justin Jefferson. Why are we not just
catch?
I mean, like he's had some crazy drops the last couple weeks. So it was really good to see him, like he was high pointing the ball. Obviously, the one-handed catch was insane, but like I felt like last week against the Commanders, he was trying to catch it against his body a couple times, and I was like, use your hand, like he's good with his hands.
Yeah.
So seeing him play, you know, 194 yards and a touchdown is that's amazing.
What I loved, like you said, the one-handed catch, potential catch of the decade type material, like up there with Odell's catch, I would pretty comfortably say. But for me, you hinted at it. What I loved was him being willing to go right into the middle of the defense and get rocked.
Yep.
but make the catch. Like there was like a 14-yard catch on like a on a second down and long or a third down where like you needed the yardage. In the fourth quarter. Yes, and he ran a route right over the middle, knew he was going to get hit, caught the ball, no doubt about it, first down, went about his business, yeah. And yep. was clutch when we needed him to be.
Yeah. And it was fun, dude, too, seeing so Diggs.
Sick. And watching.
It was fun seeing Diggs.
Yeah, fun seeing Diggs this, go off.
This is the
absolutely.
First time. This is the first time we've played against Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that was fun cool. to see him go off. That was fun.
Yeah, and it was fun too. I saw a few videos of like warm ups and like the smile he got on his face when he walked up to Kirk and like yeah. they dapped and hugged, and I'm like, yeah, he was fun. And I saw a tweet beforehand. It was before the game, and they're like, hey, just a reminder, nobody lost the Diggs trade.
Right.
Bills got their wide receiver. We got our wide receiver. Everybody was happy in the end. You know, I still feel like Diggs has love for Minnesota. For sure. Obviously he's happy where he is and he loves like Josh Allen as his quarterback. You know, for as much drama as I feel like people kind of put on him, I always felt like he handled himself really well in the press. And he really truly, I feel like, loved Kirk as a person, but I think hated him as a quarterback.
It probably is. I don't know. Who knows? You know that Diggs loved being in Minnesota, but knew that his time was up and just needed to and like made it. Props to him for like making it known to the people who it mattered to, aka the GM.
Yeah.
So that the GM could actually go about and like make a move that was good for both parties.
That yeah, without things well. Going sour, you know, and then 100%. We getting shafted on a deal. Like, we still got a first-round pick for Diggs.
100%. Yeah, it was really cool seeing Diggs. And, dude, Kirk was – he had, yeah, only a touchdown and two picks today, but he made some big-time throws, too. Took some
hits.
Yeah,
his first half was rough. Yeah. And at halftime, someone had tweeted, like, this is why we need to ditch Kirk and find a new solution at quarterback. And I was like, really what we need to do is just like, we're expecting Kirk to be Josh Allen. He's not a Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. He's a game manager, but we've got the weapons around him to allow him to manage the game. Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Super Bowl as a game manager. Yeah. He makes the right throws. He doesn't make too many stupid, like silly mistakes. Second half, he didn't really make too many mistakes. You know, I think Kevin wants him to be loose and play freely. But also, we know what he's going to do. And we were like, I think the nerves kind of were there and got to him. And they were like, you know, he was really... he was like ginger with the ball. Like,
yeah.
He didn't know what to do. Like, he just needed to settle down. And I replied, he just needs to settle down. We need to settle him down. He made some big throws in the second half. Really kept us in there.
Yeah, he did.
No mistakes. No.
Played well.
You know, played very well. I'm very happy with the way it ended up.
Yeah. Kirk can throw a good ball. And he stayed in the pocket was willing to stay in the pocket and take hits. And throw and then when footballs he, anyway.
And then that one run that he had, awesome. And instead of sliding, yeah, he went and lowered his shoulder.
Yeah, like, tried to score.
That's what we need. That's the Kirk that we need, though. Like,
do you really need that when you're a 7-1 football team?
Yeah.
And what if your quarterback gets hurt?
It gets the team on your back.
Does it? Okay. Yes, yeah. I agree. It did. It worked. I don't want our quarterback.
When he took off and he was getting close, I wanted him to dive. I wanted him to dive for the end zone. I did.
You knew. You could just tell by his posture.
I knew he wasn't going to, though.
He was not going to slide.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, shoot. You're like, oh, he's not sliding. He's getting hit.
Yeah.
He's trying to deliver some wood. All right. Quick, we can hop into just a little like as the matchups currently look right now, as of what, 8:26 p.m. CST. DFT versus Marquez. DFT versus Marquez is not close. DFT is going to score like 180 points this week.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, DFT's team. Is he going to be the top scorer again?
Oh, yeah. Next closest, I think, is... Who would that be? Ben with 147, 150. So it's not a runaway. DFT currently has 134. Ben currently has 103. DFT scheduled for 178. Ben 147. But yeah, DFT will get it again this week.
Good for him.
Back-to-back weeks for him too, I think.
Yeah. I know, it's funny. I was actually saying, because we were, he posted something in the pigskin, and I was like, I love that he's talking shit. Yeah. Oh yeah. He was like, well, you have Jimmy G, so good luck. He said, hold on, Bort. You didn't start a QB in your super flex spot this week. And I said, I didn't think Tannehill would go off like that on Denver's defense. And he goes, aren't you all about maximizing your point percentage? I'm like, shut the hell up.
Is he wrong?
No, he's not wrong.
Sometimes you make some funny decisions and it backfires.
Yeah, I make stupid decisions sometimes. But like, it's Tannehill. I didn't think he was, yeah, whatever. Anyways, yeah. So we got Dan and Ben, top two. Is Jeremy up there?
Jeremy is going to be like 137. Up there with Matt at 131. Then you have most of the rest of the folks. Sam will settle in around 115. And then around 110 will be like Eli, Canute, Josh, kind of all in that tier of scoring. But yeah, Dan and Ben are the 1-2 for sure this year, or this week in scoring.
So we need Eckler and Kittle to not have good games tonight.
Correct.
And then Matt can be top three scorer. Jeremy doesn't hit top three again. This is nice. It's good to see. It's good to see these teams outscoring him. League hopefully lives on.
League not over, maybe. Dude, speaking maybe. Of, you mentioned Matt. The Ben-Matt matchup was close for a while. As the Vikings game was wrapping up and the Bears were wrapping up too. Dude, Justin Fields, what?
What? He has...
What do we have on our hands?
It's interesting because I was actually reading someone. I was reading fantasy football, it's an article about Justin Fields, and it was like the first three or how many weeks? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The first 5 or 6 weeks, he was just not good. Well, here, actually, if you look at Sleeper, 1, 2, 3, 4, first 5 weeks, he was not top 10. He was barely top 20. Since then, week 6, QB 8, week 7, QB 5, week 8, QB 5, week 9, QB 1, and so far in week 10, QB 1.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, he's balling.
All,
and now, and they go up against Atlanta.
You know, next week. Yeah, dude. Yeah, they are a wet paper bag for a defense. They gave up 25 to the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Yeah,
track me. And Justin's from Georgia.
He's gonna have a lot of people there watching that game.
Good night.
Yeah, Atlanta, don't even show up. Sit Kyle Pitts.
It's not going to be fun.
Cut Patterson.
Yeah, dude. I, you know what's funny about Fields? He has thrown for over 200 yards once this year at week six or week five at Minnesota, threw for 208 yards.
The number eight defense.
But the weeks that he has gone off, you kind of said weeks six through 10.
Yeah.
Over the last 4 weeks, 190 pass yards, 88 on the ground. 179 passing yards, 82 on the ground. 151 versus Dallas, two touchdowns in the air, one on the ground, with an additional 60 yards on the ground. Week 9 versus Miami, 123 yards in the air, three touchdowns in the air, with an additional 178 yards on the ground and another touchdown.
And Didn't he break this last Michael Vick's record?
Yes, for most rushing yards in a game by a quarterback. Yeah. What was Vick's record? I don't even know.
I don't know. I bet it's crazy. I'll look it up.
I think it was in the 140s. And this last week, or just this like few hours ago, 167 yards in the air, two touchdowns, 147 yards on the ground, another two touchdowns. He's casually put out the last 3 weeks, three or more touchdowns every week. That'll get you a lot of fantasy points.
So
get you a lot of fantasy points.
Michael Vick had a career high 173 rush yards in one game. Do you want to know what game it was?
Against the Vikings.
Yep, in that game he had a 46-yard touchdown in overtime. In OT
to win it. 2004?
Yeah. 2002. December 2002. 1. 2001.
Rookie year,
December
Mike
1,
Vick.
2002.
It went nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was so good, dude. And then Justin Fields says, hello, I exist. I ran for more, which is wild.
Yeah, I know. They're talking about all these quarterbacks that have kind of had breakout years, and it was like year three teams traded for a quarterback, and the QB just went insane. Next year is year three. Do the Bears make a trade for a wide receiver? I'm trying to think of who it was. Who has made trades for wide receivers? Oh, like Jalen Hurts. Year three took a huge step with AJ Brown.
Yeah.
I can't think of it who it is at the top of my head, but yeah.
I mean, even to a little extent, I'm gonna toot T-Law's horn with Calvin Ridley coming most likely off of suspension next year. Do we see a connection there with Lawrence and Ridley? And, like, who do the Bears bring in? Do they think Claypool can be that guy with Fields? I don't know. Combination of Claypool and Mooney? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
But Fields has looked way more dynamic as a runner than I think any of us expected. I don't know if any of the biggest Justin Fields believers thought that they would see this.
Running, no. I mean, I was a big Fields believer. I knew he was a good runner, but I just didn't think he would. I don't know.
I mean, he's breaking off huge, huge runs of like 60 yards.
In like back-to-back weeks, he's had like 50-plus yard runs.
Yeah. Like breaking off. And like, okay, I think a comparison that I was quick to make was like, ooh, he could be a player that has a on the field look and feel like Jalen Hurts. More of a calculated runner, willing to make plays on his legs, but like wanting to be a thrower. Whereas it looks like Fields is just embracing the fact that I'm faster than almost anybody on the field. If not everybody on the field, I'm just going to outrun everybody. And yet making smart decisions as a passer too in a limited role.
But I feel like – I think that's a really good comparison because last year Hurts ran a lot. I'll pull it up. But I remember he ran a lot more – at least than what he is doing this year. He's throwing it so much more. And I think that's because they added that dynamic player like AJ Brown in there. But let's see here. Game log 2021. I bet he had way more rushing than he does this year. Yeah, I mean, last year, well, you know, week one this year, he had 90, then 57, 20, 38, 61, 27. Last year, he had 62, 82, 35, 47, 30, 44. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess the numbers really aren't that much different when it comes down to it. I felt like it was more designed runs last year, whereas now he's escaping and...
Sure. Yeah, but. I think, Matt, Justin Fields, also Christian Watson popping off for three tutters on his taxi squad with Dalvin and Kelsey. I mean, let's not, I don't know. So Matt's team is something weird, dude.
Is Watson really going to keep doing that?
No, but I flip flop on his team a lot, man. I do. I'm like, dude, his team could be legit with like Jameson Williams coming off a knee injury and Christian Watson, and Kelsey looks like he isn't slowing down, so he'll be good next year. And Fields, what in the world is he gonna do? And Dalvin Cook, like, not like could be a solid running back even next year. I don't know, dude. And he's got picks, like. Maybe slow and steady does win the race. There's no way, but it. You can tell I'm already sick of DFT's team. I'm waiting for a new team to root for, until my own. Matt's my new muse. Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. Looking like you... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and Ben has the last spot by a cool 120 points over Eli. No, 120 points over Eli. If things hold the way they are. So Ben doesn't have the last playoff spot locked up, but Eli's going to have to go on a pretty nuts run to catch him. Yeah, true. Yeah, because it looks like Ben's team is peaking at the right time. CeeDee Lamb popped off for 36 points today, without an AJ Brown hasn't even played yet this week. Tua's looking nice. Kirk had an okay day fantasy wise. Waddle scored I don't even know if Waddle played that well. The only issue with Ben's team, like we say, is running back. He doesn't have it. CEH got zero rushing attempts this game. Zero.
Yeah, so I realized I must have accidentally pushed my mute button when I was talking about the playoffs. Sorry.
Bro, are you kidding?
I wish I was. I'm off now.
Okay.
So break it down. Break it down.
Start it over again. No.
All right.
You're going to give your spiel again.
Sorry, y'all. So... there's not a ton of movement in the top or really in the bottom. If I lose to Chris, which is looking like I probably will, he could be top seven as well. So that would give him 3 victory points. Our points scored are very close. So, I mean, it kind of depends on how much he outscores me by. He could flip from 3-4, 4-3. And then, yeah. Really, we were just talking about how Ben is locked in the. I said Ben's locked into the playoffs. Whether he is in the last spot, which I don't foresee him being in there.
You think he jumps, you know, Sam?
I think he has the opportunity to yet. Sam's team, you know, I mean, obviously this week. Did he? How did he win this week?
Bradford was out. Next week Sam plays Ben. Ben will have Tua and Waddle both on bye. So that'll be tough for Ben. Looks like Sam's projected right now to win, but I think Ben would probably have the edge on that. So next week will be a big week between Sam and Ben. For at least 2 of those victory points. The week after that, Sam plays Mark. That'll be a win. Week after that, meanwhile, week 12, Ben plays me. So Ben and Sam would both win. And then a little into the weeds here, week after that, Sam draws DFT, whereas Ben draws Knut. So things, yeah, like you said, are probably leaning Ben's way to finish the season. Sam needs to pick up the 3 victory points this week to keep himself at least one 3-point performance away from being lapped immediately, or not lapped, but taken over immediately by Ben.
Yeah, and I mean, even me, you know, I'm at 22, but I go up against DFT and Jeremy the next 2 weeks. 16 plus 6 is 22.
Yeah, dude, he could get there.
So if I can't even get a top 7 score in those 2 matchups, he could. I mean, he's right now I lead him by 100 points, but
that could be erased pretty quick.
Especially with his team.
All right, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. You lay out the trades or any other notices or any other things you want to point out, and then I'm gonna come back and give my reaction for the trade.
Sounds good. Yeah, we didn't have too many trades. We only had 2. Jonathan was involved in both of them. So the first one was, or the, I mean, the biggest one was Jonathan and Eli. I don't fully understand what Eli was doing in this trade. But Jonathan received Daniel Jones, Najee Harris, Eli's 23rd and 3rd. He also got Eli's 24th and Eli's 25th. What Jonathan sent back was Russell Wilson.
You gotta give him a drum roll for this huge haul that he's about to get for this.
And Russell Wilson. And
wow, he got commissioned.
Albert Agawanaga the Baga the Baga Bomb.
you did not do that. You should have just called him Albert O, like everybody else does.
Oh, sorry.
all good. That's crazy, Eli. What are you? What are you doing? Can you believe this?
I think what's funny is
are you doing?
September of 21, Eli traded Kamara and a 22nd for Harris, and then traded Harris and Daniel Jones, a 1st, 2 seconds, and a 3rd for Russell Wilson and Albert O.
Okay. Let's do Knute's favorite activity and do the reverse trade, which is like take whatever the last time Russell Wilson was traded. Take that package instead of Russell Wilson in there. and see what a trade calculator says to it or says for it.
Wow, this is a horrible, horrible trade last time too.
I'm curious about Najee.
So Jonathan traded Godwin.
I'm gonna put it into keep trade cuts calculator. Okay, what's the deal?
Okay, so Jonathan traded Chris Godwin and Sam Darnold.
Or
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Stephon Diggs. And okay. Ben's 21 second.
Which turned into
which what? I think was 201. I'm sure he traded that. But just put like next year's second in the FT.
Like early 2024 early second.
2023 early 22nd.
2023 early second. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then so he also add that he also sent Albert O.
With Godwin and Darnold.
Yeah. And then Russell also Wilson. Put in Stephon Diggs a second. And then also add in that he received Daniel Jones, Najee Harris, a late 23 second.
Second.
A mid 23 third. I would say mid 24 second. And a mid 25 first.
A mid 24 second and a mid 25 first?
Yes.
So this is insane. This is insane. So Chris Godwin, Sam Darnold, Albert O, four, Russell Wilson, Stephon Diggs, a 2023 early second, Daniel Jones, Najee, a 23 late second, a 23 mid third, and then a 2024 mid first and second.
Yeah.
Okay. The side with Godwin is like 6,300. The side with everything else, 33,700. So a difference of 11,000. Like, add a player. It says add a player worth 11,000 to even this trade. Plus a value adjustment for that player being a stud. Yikes. Okay, Jonathan, well done, sir. Eli, come on, man. What? I mean, I know that Najee hasn't looked great, but dude, you sent a quarterback in exchange for a quarterback, and you sent the better quarterback
this year,
and in the future.
Well, TBD. But yeah, I got another one. I got another one. I got another one.
All right, let's hear it.
I got another one to enter into. Keep trading.
Okay, let's do it. What do you want?
All right.
Please
so
don't
one,
do me. Please don't no, do no, this no. to me.
Team one receives Godwin, ETN, and a mid 23 second.
Okay.
Team two receives. Wait, how do we do this? Oh, yeah, yeah. Team 2 receives Amari Rodgers.
That's what we're starting with?
It's the only player.
No.
A mid 23 first. A mid 24 first. And an early 23 first.
Oh, That says it favors Rodgers in the firsts by about the a player equivalent of like Jacoby Myers, Isaiah
actually,
Lightie, or Michael
make Carter. That make that early first, make that Devontae Smith. I think that's what it turned out to be.
That's about fair trade.
Okay. Cause so Eli got Diggs for Rodgers and those three firsts. Wait.
You got Diggs?
He got Diggs for those three firsts and Rodgers. Wait.
And he sent so Diggs that, for what? That didn't ended turn up out to ETN. Be.
And then he no. got ETN, Godwin, and a second.
From the Diggs trade?
Yeah, so that's about a fair
yeah,
trade.
That but works.
That didn't turn into Devontae Smith. I don't know who Dan Krause got with Mark's 22 first, but that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's fun to look back at those. I know I've gotten fleeced on a few trades. And I was
oh,
like,
dude, me too. Damn. But it's all in the eye of the beholder. To a point, Eli trying to compete and thinks Russ is the dude to do it. We'll see if he's right. Despite all odds.
Despite all odds. I love the subtle jab.
Yeah. Don't think it's possible. But
anyways, hey, let's quick go over the draft and then I mean there's not really much movement, really only one
no.
thing so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first four picks are staying. Looking like they're gonna stay pat with myself and then Jonathan back to back with picks 2 and 3. Knut with pick 4. Looks like Mark's gonna be picking. Eli's pick right now is gonna be projected for 105. Josh and Eli flipped, so Josh's pick, aka my pick, will be at 6. Then Matt's at 7. Dan at 8. I'll be back up at 9, it looks like. And then Knut with 10 and 11. Brent, you sit there with 12. Jonathan with 13 again. And then Minnesota Dan, second first-round pick to round out the top. He owns Jeremy's pick. He'll be looking at 114. So just a little shake-up right in the middle between myself and Mark at about 105, 106. And then I think basically the stuff that still needs to be settled is 107 between 105 and 108, basically. Eli, Josh, Matt, and Minnesota Dan. I don't think those guys are done moving yet in the standings, so their picks will be adjusted, obviously, and more set in stone as the season progresses. But that's what we're looking at.
I love it. It's been an amazing week. We still got Sunday night football. What's the score over there?
Score over there right now is
like 13 to 10.
Something like that.
Let me check. So you've got Jimmy playing
10 to 16 at half. Who's Chargers that? Up. Chargers up to 16-10.
That just means Jimmy's going to have to throw it a lot in the second half. More points for me. Tomorrow night, Eagles versus
Commanders.
Commanders, yeah. Jalen Hurts probably going to go off.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, with that, I only have one more thing. This is for you, Pete. I found this just specifically for you. Hold on. Here we go.
Oh, no.
Ready?
Oh, no. All right. You gotta let me know when it's done because I can't hear it coming through my headphones.
It's done.
All right. Skol Vikes.
Skol Vikes, baby.
8-1, having fun. Talk to you in the week.
Sounds good. See y'all on Thursday.
Bye.